Appendix G about the author.
When I was 11 years old, I went fishing in a stream that winds through the city of Buffalo, New York. I caught a large quantity of tiny fish. The fish were too small to eat, but that didn't change the fact that I caught more fish than any of my friends. If I had thrown the fish back, the fish would have grown bigger, but instead I threw them on the bank where they flopped until they died. When I got up to leave, since I had no use for the fish, I left them, hoping no one was looking. When I was 35 years old, I went fishing for converts at a shopping mall in Bonita, California. A group from my church had gone out most every Saturday for over a year. Sometimes we went to the parks, sometimes door to door, sometimes to shopping malls. My particular group consisted of trained evangelists, having completed the Glad Tidings Evangelism course, and done many kinds of evangelism in the United States and Mexico. We had even established and nurtured a flourishing church in the slums outside Tijuana, Mexico. We used a tract called the two-question test. We were trained to identify those people most likely to be receptive to a presentation of the gospel. Much of it has to do with practical considerations. For example, couples are more receptive than large groups. We approached people with lead-in lines like, "I'm asking people if they'd like to take a test that shows whether they are going to go to heaven. Would you like to take the test? It only takes a few minutes." I witnessed to a receptive 18-year-old boy. This kid would have done anything I asked. He answered all the questions correctly, indicating he understood the gospel. I came to the end of the tract, where I was supposed to lead him in a formula salvation prayer. It would have been so easy. And then I'd be able to tell the church, "We got another one saved." I hesitated. Just then a fellow evangelist came by, and basically said I should get the decision, and, if I didn't, the boy might be hit by a car and his blood would be on my head. After all, now is the day of salvation. But I remembered my experience at the Spring Valley swap meet days before. I used this same tract at swap meets. People back east call them flea markets all over the San Diego area with great success, or so I thought at the time. I used to set up a 10-foot booth with a huge banner inviting shoppers to come and take the two-question test to find out if they were going to heaven when they died. It was at the Spring Valley swap meet that I had my first doubts about what I was doing. Six giggling Baptist girls, 14 to 19 years old, came into my booth thinking, I assume, they were going to have a good time with this young evangelist. I led them through the test, and not one of them could tell me why they should go to heaven when they died. There were the usual, "I try to be a good person," and, "I keep the Ten Commandments," and "I go to church," etc., but when each of these reasons was discredited with scriptures, the girls couldn't come up with a correct answer. I can't remember if I led them in a formula salvation prayer or just explained the gospel to them and admonished them to completely turn their lives over to God. I wrestled with the realization that I was part of the problem. These six girls had gone forward in countless altar calls at church camps, revivals, and youth meetings and still weren't saved. What possible purpose would there be in leading them in still another salvation prayer, if the previous prayers had resulted in nothing more than the delusion that they were saved? How many evangelists would question the salvation of six bright-eyed Baptists who thought they were born again? How could these girls go through life thinking they were saved when, at any moment, they could slip into a Christless eternity? Who's responsible? Who's to blame? Since that day at the shopping mall in Bonita, California, I try to catch only the fish God gives me, and pray I never leave a fish on the riverbank to die.